Compassion Plans, Episode 11, Empowering Citizens with Populist Components, from POPLUS.org.
Populist components are definitely for engineers, there's no doubt about it, but they're also for activists and change makers.
The world we live in is far from perfect. How can I effectively make a difference? This is Compassion Plans, a weekly interview to help you make the world a better place with your host, Bentley Davis.
Welcome to Compassion Plans. I'm Bentley Davis, and today I have Tom Steinberg and Felipe Jose. So guys, welcome to the show.
It's good to be here.
Thank you. I have a bit of noise around here. I'm in a Starbucks, so I'll do my best to keep people quiet.
I usually like to start off our conversations by talking about compassion, which is about reducing someone else's pain. So gentlemen, what pain are you about reducing in the Populist Project? Tom, maybe you could start us off.
There's two different kinds addressed, really. There's the ultimate kind, and then there's the sort of the proximate kind. The ultimate kind relates to the sorts of services that we hope people will successfully able to build and launch because Populous exists. And those are digital services that help members of the public to exert power over decision makers, get answers from governments, just get stuff done in the sort of civic and the democratic aspects of people's lives. And therefore, the kinds of pain that we're talking about overcoming there is the pain of when you're let down by a government service, or when the government doesn't do something that you need it to, or when decision makers make decisions that are short-sighted or against your interests and other people's. So that's the kind of the long-term goal. But there's actually a short-term one, which is closer to the detail of what Populous really is. And that's the pain of building the kinds of sites that can help people solve those problems. It's the technical challenge and the logistical and the campaigning challenge of running a site. As Felipe could definitely tell you, building and running a website or an app that specifically exists to help people find out about politicians or powerful people is just really difficult. It's really time-consuming. It's hard, and it's painful in the terms of the debate here. And Populous is about reducing that kind of pain so that more services get built to help the wider public.
Excellent. That's certainly a big goal. And as you facilitate, making our communication with our government works better, I imagine that has implications throughout all of society. Felipe, did you want to say anything on that specific question?
Just adding to what really Populous is just by itself, what it does, improving public services, that is in some levels exercising your rights or organizing with folks for different kinds of purposes. So it really does empower or strengthen, our ability, our citizen ability, to participate in the social world, and especially to make, in different kind of ways, this world a better place. So not Populous in itself is reducing pain, but it's definitely aimed to support others do their work.
How does Populous facilitate that?
So basically, Populous is a community of sharing. That's kind of the main definition, perhaps. And we share for different purposes. We share for, kind of making our coding ability much more efficient. But also we share because, we're working on the same space, right? We're trying to reach the same kind of goals or the same kind of purposes. And we have confronted similar problems or difficulties when it comes to technology, but not only technology, but also, policy. So what this community is all about is agreeing on sets of strategies or techniques or even, coding methods as a way of how whatever we're developing can be shared, can be useful for someone else that is not even in my city, not even in my country, or perhaps just in another continent. And right now what we're doing is making websites with a component-based strategy, which means that we understand websites as different aggregations of very specific functions, each of which can be called a component. Functions like organizing data and providing data about people or about, geo-reference information or about conversations or documents. Each of these is what we call the component. I know Tom can say much more about this, but each of these components are basically the parts of websites around the world. And what we're doing is that we're approaching the development of our websites in a component kind of way, so that if we develop a component, a function, that may be useful for me, for my particular website, but it also may be useful for a website from someone else around the world. So this is much more efficient in terms of how you approach development of your websites.
So yeah, it's a community that's coming together to share processes and also share code. A lot of people might think, well, there's a lot of open source code out there. How does the populace differ from just taking the code that you wrote and throwing it into GitHub or some other service like that?
Yeah, there are two differences, really. One is that these components, most open source code that is produced by most people building projects, they're not really trying to make that software that can be reused by other people. They're trying to solve their own problem, and then they're just sticking it on GitHub as a place to store it. And there's a big difference between software that has been written and documented in a way that other people have a hope, any chance of being able to reinstall and reuse reasonably well, versus just a bit of software you happen to have made that you've put online. If other people are welcome to use it, but in reality it's going to be really probably very difficult to use. So that's one difference, is that the express intention of reuse. But the second thing is there are big open source packages online. There are things like WordPress or Drupal that are really, really huge pieces of software that exist to solve kind of big problems like hosting websites. And they do lots of things, and they are open source, and you can reuse them for lots of different purposes. The Populous components are bits of technology that have civic concepts sort of baked in. They exist with one really specific purpose, which is to reduce the time it takes to build civic democratic websites. So they won't save you any time if you're trying to build a sports website. They won't save you any time if you're trying to build a fashion website, but they can potentially take weeks or months out of your development time if you're building a site that is about decision makers or governments or powerful people or institutions. And so those are the two things that make Populous components a bit different from just sort of any other random bit of a code.
Yeah, and just add to what Tom was saying. So basically, so far, I think that for many of us, like in the civic hacking space or in anywhere else in the technology space, really, you know, sharing has been mostly about, as Tom was saying, just going open source and sharing your code out there. And what Populous is saying is basically, let's, you know, go a bit further. And let's understand that sharing should be not just about sharing your code, but it's actually, it's a disposition really to support others in their development work based on whatever you built. So basically, none of these components or REST APIs are by themselves interoperable and they will just fit in and you just plug in and they work. They all need a bit of tweaking. They all need a bit of implementation. You know, you need to adapt them so that they can work better. And all of that has to do, again, with the disposition of whoever built that piece of technology to support others. So it's much more about a community than just a repo. It's about sharing the code, but it's also sharing your time to support others and their own work. Because in the end, you will also get support from whatever they are doing for your own kind of website.
That's really excellent. How did this all come together?
Both Felipe's organization, Ciudadano Inteligente in Chile, and my organization, my society, mainly in Britain, we have similar experiences despite being in very different places. And those experiences are of designing and building sites that help members of the public do things like find out about politicians and what they say and how they vote and what conflicts of interest they have and so on. We've both been doing this for a little while, and what we noticed while this was happening was that the normal thing to happen in a new country was that someone would hear about a site like one of the ones that we run, and they would go, that's really, really cool, and then they would start building them from scratch. They would, as it were, take a big blank sheet of paper, and they would start building their website or the app, you know, from the ground up. And there was a real problem here, because it turns out that building these sites is really hard. So consequently, people were, you know, more often than we would like, just not really succeeding. Their sites were not launching, or they were not getting very far. And that was because they were spending tons and tons of time to do all the real basics, and they weren't spending any time at all doing the sort of the more fancy things that make a site success. They're like They were basically digging and redigging and re-redigging the foundations of the house and never really building the walls very high. We wanted to work out if it was possible to help people like that to spend much less time digging the foundations and much more time building, you know, a fancy big house with, you know, nice windows and a nice roof and so on. That's the point at which we said, well, maybe there are some pieces, some components like, you know, doors and windows that we can pre-build so that people can build their houses, in other words, their websites or their apps, but they can build them without having to, as it were, bake every brick and, you know, chop down every tree themselves. Maybe we can make something that's a bit more like a builder's yard, a construction yard, and provide prefabricated pieces that people can use. Now, obviously, for quite a long time, it's been possible to get and install big pieces of software that run a whole website for you, like WordPress. What's different about the components and what they add to that ecosystem that has things like WordPress in it is that they are, as it were, they're doors and windows that are specifically suited to projects that are about power and politics and institutions and politicians and governments and parliaments and that sort of thing. But the initial motivation was seeing other people trying to build really good sites, and they were wasting too much of their time just digging the foundations, and we thought maybe we could help them so that they could spend more time building the real house.
I absolutely agree again with Tom. That's kind of the genesis of Hopeless. So it has to do with frustration in many ways. Perhaps a broader sense has to do with, you know, this frustration that for many of us, they're trying to build technology to improve life in different kind of ways. It is really difficult, and it's also financially very, very difficult. You know, we get the sense sometimes is that, you know, if you want to make money, if you want to, I don't know, any other kind of more private or sometimes a bit more selfish purposes, it's kind of easier than what if you want to, you know, start an organization or a platform such as the ones that the members of Hopeless are doing right now. So basically what I'm saying is that the road is sometimes more difficult. It would be easier for all of us if this could be done, of course, with more resources, but at least a way of making this an easier, nicer road is by sharing, again, our experiences, by sharing our technology. And I guess really that's kind of the only way right now to develop these platforms in a way that you can survive. And also in a way that we can keep innovation going. As Tom was saying, we want people to not spend, again, all their resources in building the basics, you know, kind of the bricks, the wood of the houses, as Tom was saying. But we really want innovation to keep going by spending that very scarce resource you have, not in the basics, but actually taking this knowledge further and doing things, again, for your website that it can be useful for anyone else. So I was just saying that the root or one of the motivations of Hopeless has been this level of frustration as well. And if you want to kind of make the world a better place, sometimes it's hard. And the best way to get there really is about collaboration.
Yeah, that's fabulous. And I like the fact that it's focused on community even more than the technology. It seems like a very vibrant group. What do you think were keys kind of to your success of building up this community so far? Was it just the fact that both you guys kind of have two communities already kind of doing similar things and were able to merge them, or was there any other secrets to your sauce?
I would say that the main reason, I believe, for such a community to succeed, and by the way, I wouldn't say it's a complete success so far. I think we're getting there, and we're really excited to see this community grow, but there's so much more to be done that it's really not a point where you can say, you know, looking back, this is success. I think we're absolutely in a stage of still being born. But that said, I think that the main reason why we see this community like picking up and getting lots of attention, it's because it's really addressing a common problem. So it's not just saying, you know, let's build a community because we all like sharing and, you know, we'll be cool, it'll be nice, it's useful. No, it's actually really addressing, you know, a need that is, you know, cross-country, you know, the need, as Tom was saying in the beginning, you know, or the problems we're facing in Chile or in the States or in the UK or in Africa, in many ways are kind of the same, and they need solutions that need to be addressed together. And that's why I think this is also succeeding. And also because our approach is openness. So it's not saying, you know, I remember with Tom, we were launching the community in Santiago a couple of months ago, and we were not saying, you know, we have an absolute solution for all this. There's no recipe. There's no prescription. What we did is that, you know, this is what we have. This is kind of where we think we should be going. But that said, it is the community who has to decide where we should go, right? It's the community who will decide the main definitions, you know, the requirements, everything. So openness is also, I think, a reason of why this is getting attention, because everyone gets a real chance to participate and to define what Poppler should be.
Yeah, it has grown surprisingly fast in these last few months. Is because despite the fact that the world has very different political and environmental and religious situations, and that, you know, countries and people are very different all over the place, there are some things that are just the same. Most places have important people. There are some people in a society who are more powerful than others, and those people have names, and they have photos, and they have phone numbers, and also it's quite common for people to need to know the question, who is my politician? How do I get in touch with them? And even if the democratic system is very different, or even if the country isn't democratic, then often just knowing this, you know, basic question, you know, is this problem, is this municipal problem, is it inside the jurisdiction of this town, or is it inside the jurisdiction of some other town? That's a pretty common thing, even, you know, given the massively diverse nature of, you know, of humanity. And so this, in some ways, it's a rare example of where there's enough commonality to mean that there can be people collaborating who are from Chile and Taiwan and other places that don't really have very much in common otherwise. Yeah, you could say that it feels like where there is commonality, people have decided they don't want to reinvent the wheel anymore. It's that desire to not waste everyone's time and energy and money that I think is probably the thing that underpins the current enthusiasm.
Yeah, and I guess that's also another difference from just putting your code up on GitHub. It's also when people are building these components, because of this community that they're supporting and they've been supported by, they're also trying to build them kind of language agnostic, or, you know, easily pluggable with different languages and different areas. Like when you're putting in taxing, you know, something with taxes, you may not just assume that it's a sales tax or a federal tax. You might just make it a little bit more flexible to handle different countries like VAT and other type of taxes when you're building these components, making them more reusable.
Yeah, we have to take into account the way in which the world is different. And so one of the things that we say, you know, before a piece of software counts as a Poppler component, it has to be clear that the people building it have thought about the fact that different countries are different, right? And that some people write from left to right and other people write from right to left. And in some people you have a parliament with two chambers, like the House and the Senate, and in other places you've only got one. And so the software that helps people deal with these, you know, it can't just say either your country has a House and a Senate or the software isn't working, right? It's got to be software that works in places where there's one and where there's two, and or places where regional governments fix the potholes and where city governments fix the potholes. And yes, there is baked into the idea of Poppler is the idea that it is important to be considerate of the way that the world is different in different places. And that one of the best ways of being considerate is to break the problem down into pieces, into these components. Because if you try and make an all-singing, all-dancing piece of software, something that can handle any problem in the world, then in order for that piece of software to both handle all kinds of problems and work in all kinds of countries, well, that's a piece of software that's going to become bigger and bigger and bigger until it's so big that it can't really work. Whereas a really small bit of software, a component that just does one thing, like help people work out, you know, am I in this city or am I in that city? That's a piece of software that can be made to work in different languages and different political contexts.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I just thought that having that philosophy also will make those components more flexible as the laws change in whatever country it is. Like, you know, right now our cities kind of handle all the streets and infrastructure, but if we changed it to be statewide or even federal, which, you know, stuff like that can happen, it would just be a configuration change and not have a rewrite. So it actually builds flexibility also for the original developer.
Yeah, we even expect that some of these components will be kind of rebuilt, right? So right now we have a component that is, you know, providing information about people, but later on someone else will develop another one that will do people plus, I don't know, aliens and, whatever it is. That could be also replaced by the existing component without having a massive, impact in your website. So it's really about also sustainability and things you do. Actually, sustainability is one of the key things about this, is that, for example, if you have an organization based in, let's say, in Colombia, right, and they want to develop a website for monitoring Congress, such as the one developed in Chile or in the UK or in the US, but they say, I actually have very few resources that would allow me to, develop just a part of this website. That's one of the great things about Pulpus. You could start with some components and later on try more components that could be added to your existing website. So that organization in Colombia may have only $10,000 that would allow them to, set up a website and include a component for people and email exchange. But later on, they may have enough additional resources, and they can add a component for documents, and later on a component for maps. And if there's a new component for maps, years to come, they can replace it. So sustainability in our approach of developing these websites is also a very key feature, I would say, of what Pulpus is.
What roles or what type of people are you hoping to encourage to join the Pulpus community?
There's a place for loads of people. We've said repeatedly during this interview that these components are made to help people build and launch websites and apps more easily. But of course, the team of people you need to build and launch a website today is quite diverse. It varies from your software developers through to your graphic designers, through to your administrators and managers, and in this field in particular, campaigners and advocates of different kinds. And one thing that really is quite important about the Pulpus components is that they are supposed to offer some real value and some direct value to advocates and campaigners and managers, and not just to software engineers. So just to give you an example, one of the components that relates to making it easy to administer a list of public speeches, of the speeches and statements made by politicians, that's both a piece of software that you can plug into a website as a developer, but it also has an interface that allows either one campaigner or a group of different campaigners to share a database. For example, it could be a database of all the speeches given by the mayor in a town, and several people could help maintain that. And all the people who help maintain it could be, could be not at all technical. They could just be people interested in the mayor. Yeah, if I was going to simplify it down to two big groups, Pulpus components are definitely for engineers, there's no doubt about it, but they're also for activists and change makers, really, and they're the other big group.
How long has Pulpus been going?
The conference in Santiago was just in May this year, so it's just been a few months. There was a bit of time before that where we tried to kind of line it all up and get it all together, but really it only properly started inside the last 6 months.
And so maybe good to go through some of the examples of the components just to give people a feel for what we have so far. And of course, we don't want to limit it to these components. We hope there'll be a lot more.
There are components for storing and providing data as a REST API for the profiles of people, mainly for the profiles of politicians, which was developed by my society, it's called Puppet. Similarly, there's another component developed by my society for storing and providing data about conversations, which is called Say It. We have another one that stores and gives data about email exchange or iterations, conversations, such as the one we developed called Write It. We have another one called Billet, which is the same thing, stores and provides data about documents, and that is called Billet. We developed for the purpose of bills, but really it could be any kind of document as well. And one of the implementations we have developed or deployed recently that is using some of these components is a recent Parliament monitoring website. It's called congresoabierto.org, and it's based in Chile. It's monitoring the Chilean Congress. And that website, we're using My Society's Puppet for the data about, you know, politicians and members of Congress in Chile. We're using our component for documents, for providing data about the bills and how are they amended throughout the legislation process. We have implemented the email exchange component for the purpose of writing to politicians and getting public answers from them posted online, and you can share that with other people so you can keep pressure on politicians responding to citizen questions. And we have a few other implementations on plan, but basically it's an example of how these components can be put into practice with using bits and pieces of technology developed in-house, such as the one we developed in Ciudad Inteligente, but also using My Society. As another example, this, in terms of time, we did measure how much time it took us to develop this website as compared to our previous effort, which was also our Parliament monitoring website, and took us about 6 times less than what we did. So again, there was more efficient resources, it was less expensive. And again, we're looking forward to adding more components in the future, which makes it also sustainable.
Yeah, that's amazing. 6 times faster. That's quite an efficient use of resources. And it looks like several of the components are already being used in multiple websites, like Say It is being used in Philadelphia and the South African Parliament.
Yeah, and now as of just last week, a site that covers the assembly that governs Nova Scotia in Canada. So I think that now is powering 3 really, you know, very different kinds of services. Plus, I've got a few demo sites that run in Britain here covering major court cases, for example.
As y'all have started this, has there been any kind of lessons you've learned in building this community that you could share with us?
One thing would clearly be that there is definitely a value to saying we're going to, for shared technologies, ones that lots of people need to rely on and that are going to be open source, it's not all about us. We're not going to stick our brand, our name, our logo all over it and say that, you know, it's my software and you're so incredibly lucky to use it. Instead, the reason that Populous is in its own right a new brand name is a way of saying to the world, look, here's a thing that we've built that is, you know, being built collectively, and that if you don't get involved, if you don't take part, then probably it's not really going to succeed. It's not one person's ego trip or one company's bottom line. And I think that was a sensible call, and one that I think has possibly helped some people get involved who otherwise might think, oh, well, I don't know if I want to get in bed with that particular organization, right? It's got a really, really different vibe to software made by one company, one organization. Another thing is that the power, you still, even in this virtual software-driven internet age, the power of getting people together to agree on things and to endorse things and to get behind things, you still can't beat it. And so the big launch of Populous in Santiago as a federation was very, very important. We wouldn't be anywhere like where we are now if those people hadn't been willing to, you know, to travel and meet and talk and come to agreement.
It's not just pure benefit at first. It's not just, you know, just come here and help yourself with some of the existing technology that has been put available here in Populous. It does require, for many of the existing organizations, and for many of those organizations that were in Santiago launching this federation, it took a lot of, you know, time and also, you know, disposition to think about how could my organization change to be part of this? How could some of the existing websites I have be adapted so that they can be useful for someone else as well? So in other words, to be part of Populous did require for many of us like a cost of saying, you know, what I had is not really useful. It's not totally useful for the whole community. So that means I will need to change my practices in a way. That means, you know, some of the code I did I need to change it. I need to adapt it so it can be useful for someone else. So again, that is also speaking about kind of the who's in this community. It's people that has been not only, you know, willing to take benefit from what we commonly build here, but it's also, you know, the cost of adapting and changing to be in a position of much more collaboration.
Yeah, and the time spent dedicating some time to adapt and make your components usable by different companies and different organizations and different countries is paid back in full in being able to use components by other people. So it's a wise investment that gives you more flexibility and in the end saves resources.
Exactly, yeah. In the mid and long term, that's exactly the case. So again, you know, what we got in that first conference is people were kind of raising their hands and saying, you know, I actually have this. I didn't, you know, I've never thought about this as a component, but maybe if I do this and that, it could be a component again. Or this website I have is useful for implementing these kind of components. And they, again, so people started to collaborate more and approaching this collaboration in a component-based way. So again, it's much more about not just a smart coding method. It's much more about, you know, thick and strong collaboration by different members from different countries.
Has there been anything that's been slowing down kind of populist growth or use that you'd like to see out of the way?
Some of the components are more mature and more finished, you know, than others. And there's no doubt that when a couple of the core components at the moment just get beyond the sort of the alpha state, the incomplete state they're in at the moment, and they become more more fully featured and so on, that will be a big moment, because then it will become possible for people to easily implement them and use them for things in ways that they can't quite do today. So yeah, so if I had a magic time machine, I would like to spool forward to the point where there are maybe four or maybe five populist components that are all as mature as maybe two of them are at the moment. And that means that as a sort of like as a toolbox or a builder's yard, like I was saying before, you know, there'll be a real range of high quality things there rather than a couple of things that are high quality and a couple of things that are coming along quite quickly, but that are not really quite fully done yet. There is one other thing that would really make a massive difference as well, which is more opportunities to explain what Populous is doing, what it's for, how you can be involved in more places. Because ultimately, if you are, as Populous is, if you're in the business of trying to make reusable components to help a lot of people, then those people have to know what you're doing, right? And so we would, you know, if we could get 20 invites to 20 really good conferences full of change makers and interesting people who would let us talk about what we're doing, that would I think help the whole federation quite a lot as well.
So if anyone's listening to this and has any further connections, encourage them to reach out to you. For the components right now, I've noticed that some of them have almost like there's a shared kind of database is probably the wrong word, but when you're using a web service, you can connect to a lot of existing data. And of course you can also, it's open, so you can create your own database. If you are actually storing some data in a community resource, is that part of Populous itself, or is just one of the groups kind of opening their system for other people to store some data in it temporarily? Or
yeah, the philosophy is a bit different from Wikipedia or from, Wikimedia Commons. And it's worth explaining that, because otherwise you might have listeners who are thinking, well, why don't you just, you know, shove all of this data into Wikidata, for example. We expect that people will use these components much more like they might use a database on their own machine, which is to say it's just theirs. It's not generally on the internet necessarily for anybody to see unless they choose to sort of to share it. And when you add some data, you don't sit there thinking, maybe other people who administer this site won't like it, maybe I'll have to play by someone else's set of rules. This is much more like you go to Tumblr, you go to Twitter, you make an account, it's your account, doesn't belong to anyone else, you can do what you want with it. And generally the architectural approach of these components is it's more like people saying, saying, it's more like saying to people, you can have an Instagram account, you can have a Pinterest account, and you can do the things that you want with it. The only difference, of course, is that, you know, whereas Pinterest is, you know, lots of pictures of cupcakes and so on, this is lots of structured data on the names of political parties or municipal boundaries or political speeches, or possibly in future it could be the assets and the interests of politicians. But the philosophy is more like that than a massive shared database like Wikipedia.
One of the great things about the design is that it's really kind of technology agnostic. I can see that when we're working on these components, we're trying to make sure that they kind of use disconnected web services, so your front end is completely separate from your back end, so you can just get a bare server and kind of install the web service kind of back end, and then have your front end by a completely different technology, so you don't really so much have to worry so much about that back end technology. And I thought that was really neat. I've heard about development styles like that and how it's benefit, but it seems to even be even more exponentially beneficial in this open sharing community. What would be the best way for someone to get involved with Poplus?
The poplus.org website gives an overview of what we do. There's a couple of videos on there, including one or two of people explaining what Poplus is all about. But actually, the really super simple thing is there's a Google group. It's got loads of people on it who are all sort of like, you know, just as new as you are, just finding their way around. So simply joining that list and saying, hello, I'm interested. Can this help me solve a problem? Can I get involved? I think that's pretty hard to beat is join the Poplus Google group from poplus.org.
Go to the website, poplus.org. It's not a totally comprehensive website of everything we're doing. I think we're getting there and getting a website that doesn't actually reflect the movement that is going on, you know, behind the scenes. But right there's a list of the components that are available. There is a reference to the code that has been published. And again, there's information about, as Tom was saying, the Google group.
Tom and Felipe, I really appreciate what you've started here and how that's really going to kind of accelerate our societies and both working together and working on our own societies. And I think it's going to be great. I appreciate your time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening. Get the links and notes for today's show at compassionplans.com/11. Never miss an episode by entering your email into our subscription list while you're there. If you appreciate what we're doing, go to compassionplans.com/appreciate to find out how you can spread compassion by rating and reviewing this podcast on iTunes. Thank you so much for caring.